coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
WRGA, Rome, Georgia, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. That's a beautiful thing. And get this, folks, Florida listeners, Delray Beach, WDJA, covering all the way down to Fort Lauderdale and up almost to Hobie Sound and out towards the lake, is going to be picking up Armed American Radio beginning on 314, and that's a great thing. So welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. Kingman, Arizona, Bullhead City, Arizona, you're coming, and I'll give you a date on that. KAAA in Kingman and KZZZ in Bullhead City, welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. Modesto, California, starts next week, and there will be more. I have to hold on to my hat here. I can't let you in on it yet until we know what's cooking, but I will, I promise you. You can check the armedamericanradio.org website for the latest information, and please don't forget to catch us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, and many of you are, the fan base is growing rapidly, so make sure you check out armedamericanradio.face at Facebook there, Armed American Radio on Facebook for sure, and click Become a Fan. And you'll literally get up to the second deals as we continue our relentless march of freedom across the United States of America as one of the fastest growing radio broadcasts in America. And that's great. And thank you very much for that. Okay, folks, tonight's show, we were talking with my in-studio guest in hour number one. A quick recap, if you're just picking us up. Gentlemen, we'll call him David, who was kind enough to be here in the studio with me right now. And attorney John Monroe from Georgia Carey. And John, I want to thank you very much. I know, you know, I hate to put you on the spot because laws are different in all these different states. And, you know, you practice law in Georgia. You're licensed elsewhere, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I know that, you know, each state has individual deals. And I guess I kind of go after the common law deal with you and try to get you to generalize. And I know that's very tough to do. So thanks for your input.
Right.
In hour number one.
My pleasure.
And David, we have... one of my heroes on the line, Masad Ayoub, joins us, one of the nation's foremost experts in personal defense, and we're going to go ahead and bring him in right now. Masad, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be with such distinguished company.
Well, David, I'll tell you what. You thank you very much. I guess you're referring to John and David, right?
Well, David did a great job. He did the first and most important thing. He got out alive. He got his companion out of a highly lethal situation, alive and unharmed, unscathed.
Now, you heard that first hour from a remote location.
I did.
And I have got so much to ask you about. You know, David had said some things that, and Masad, you know, let's be real about this. We see this stuff on forums all over the place, and we see the bravado out there. And, you know, making a decision to carry a handgun, as we discuss on this program, is number one, it's a very personal choice, but it is the biggest responsibility that you will ever shoulder. Am I right?
Well, that's absolutely true. And the ones who will give you the bravado on the internet are the ones who've probably never come closer to it than playing a video game. They're hearing the reality from David. And thank you both for bringing that in. Thank you for bringing in John Monroe's very incisive and absolutely on-point explanation of how the system works. One thing I would hate to see get lost would be the role of David's brother, Eric. We tend to focus on the guy behind the gun and the guy on the other end of the gun, and you don't realize that an incident like this is a life-changing incident that touches not only oneself, but one's family and one's loved ones. By the same token, the family really needs to be there for them. Eric, within hours of the shooting, had contacted me. The family was getting their ducks in a row if there was need for legal representation. Family and friends were there to support him, and God bless all those people for doing that. I think one of the lost lessons from these things is the needs for others to be supportive of the person who has been through this life-altering situation.
Masad, Eric is directly across from me right now, and I want to just, Eric, you want to say hello to Masad?
Yes, sir. Good to speak to you again.
Likewise.
That's powerful stuff, and, you know, Masad, I don't even know where to go. I've got stuff coming, just crawling out of my brain right now that I want to hit you with, because I think most of our listeners really, you know, we talk about it, we read about it, we buy the DVDs, we attend LFI, okay? We go to gun sites. You know, we train with the best. Rob Pincus, as you know, is a regular co-host on this broadcast every 3 weeks now, officially. And we're going to focus with him on expert training. We've got Gabe Suarez on the program, and these guys do amazing work. But I think David really hit the nail on the head, Mass, didn't he? How do you prepare for this stuff? What do you tell your students?
It's very analogous to what you learn on first aid. You know, if you had an honest CPR instructor, they told you, by the way, when the air that you're breathing into their mouth to save their life goes down their esophagus, there's a really good chance they're going to throw up and vomit in your mouth. And you sit there listening to that, and you start kind of rethinking your commitment to save the lives of others. But in the end, probably any CPR graduate you know who's ever had to do it did it without hesitation, because they realized what may come of this may be repugnant to me, but damn it, there's something more important on the line. This is life and death. You've got a few seconds to figure that out when somebody's gone into arrest. In David's situation, in the situation your listeners, God help them, may face one day, there will not be time to figure it out. The 1 to 3 seconds you're going to have to make your decision is not going to be time for a decision as cosmic as the taking of a human life. You have to know beforehand. You have to have thought out the ramifications and know, given stimulus A, by God, I will perform response A, because if I don't, innocent people will die, and that is simply unacceptable.
Now, we're talking about preparation and awareness here.
Preparation, awareness, alertness. David kind of whips himself for not having seen the perpetrator sooner. Bottom line is, he was alert enough to see the perpetrator in time to arm himself, literally get inside that guy's OODA loop, and turn the momentum of the fight against the man who had initiated it. And damn it, I think he should be patting himself on the back instead of smacking himself on the face for that.
Yeah, you know, he's over here. He's shaking his head. I have the benefit of being able to look at him over here, and he's shaking his head. And it's intense to talk about. And you heard us discuss the aftermath, and this is a good time to go into an email that we just received. It says, "Dear Mark, I've never been in a situation anything like the one that David faced. God willing, I never will. If I am, I can only hope I handle it as well as he did. I have a serious question about dealing with the aftermath, one that perhaps Masad Ayoub can answer when he comes on. Here it is. What does the person who simply cannot afford to hire an attorney and have no one who can help them to do so do? There are more than a few people out there who have to save for months to buy what many would consider to be a pretty cheap carry gun, and then save for several more months to be able to afford to pay for the required classes and the carry permit itself. What is the best course of action for someone in this position to take legally? Many thanks to you, Mr. Ayoub, and David for sharing his story." That's from Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for that. Those are great questions, and I think I know where you're going to go with the Legal Defense Fund, right?
Well, certainly the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Fund, ACLDN, armedcitizensnetwork.org, is something that I and a lot of the people in the profession now are behind. That said, in these economic times, if we've got someone who can't afford an attorney, they may well not be able to afford to join such a support group either. Consider the public defender. I've seen guys say, "Oh my God, I'll take a plea," because rather than be, you know, defended by the public defender's office, because everybody tells me they're the dregs. I got to tell you, some of the finest attorneys in this country, Roy Black in Miami, for God's sake, probably our most famous criminal defense attorney today, began as public defenders. A whole lot of those people aren't there because they couldn't get a salary at a big firm that looked like a telephone number. They're there because they have a commitment to protect the wrongfully accused. The other things to look at, again, just like the importance of friends and family, no one person can do it alone. Be looking at joining organizations like, you know, Georgia Concealed Carry. Wherever you are around the country, there is some state arm of the National Rifle Association, State Rifle and Pistol Association. It might go by a different name in your state. But the people at the gun shop can steer you there. These are the kind of people who do the grassroots work, who can reach out and get a defense fund going for someone who lives near them in a situation that literally hits close to home and maybe be of help.
Okay,
consider Masad, $15 a year belonging to the Second Amendment Foundation. I've seen them put together defense funds that saved penniless people who could not otherwise have afforded the counsel that won them their acquittals.
That's great advice. And Jeremy, I hope all of you paid very close attention to that, because you're listening to it from an expert man that has spent the majority of his life helping people just like you. When we come back, I want to ask John about your opinion on Jeremy's email. Big topic. A lot of people ask that question. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. I'm joined by Masad Ayoub, David, and John Monroe, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? Do you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters? If so, you need to visit 9survive.com. When you do, you'll quickly learn vital survival skills such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters and the unprepared masses, Jedi mind tricks to keep you in the fight long after your friends have burned out, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. You can learn these skills and more by signing up for our free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9survive.com.
to the Armed American Radio Network Show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I have to thank John Young for that voiceover every time we come back from a break. That's great. We're talking about guns and ammunition. That is great stuff. Was that you, Sean, that said that? You did. Okay. I don't know if that went out or not, ladies and gentlemen. If that did, that was my producer, Sean. Sean is not John Young. He's Sean Young, but nobody's got pipes like John does. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones again. When we add new cities, we generally get calls. If you're up in Minneapolis, Hibbing, Minnesota, up there, listening to us, two stations up in Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul in particular, feel free to give us a call if you've got a question. We're joined by Masad Ayoub and David and Eric and John Monroe here. And when we left for the break, numbers, 877-956-9566. Feel free to call them, 877-956-9566. Make sure the questions are on topic. A lot of times we get calls and we have to push them off to email answers. We definitely want to put you on the air. So when we left the break, we got a great question from Jeremy on an email. And, John, I want to defer that to you now as an attorney. Masad gave some great advice about where to go and some very well-known places that people can go for support. And then after your answer, I want to flip it back to Eric and talk about what he did as family support for David. What's your advice to that email? Sorry about that. We'll go back to live radio. Your mic's on. Go ahead.
I think a lot of what Masab's said is exactly right. The Second Amendment-oriented organizations that have defense funds can be very helpful. I also agree that in many cases, public defenders can be very helpful. Keep in mind that's all they do is criminal defense work, so they have a lot of experience and expertise in it. One thing I'd point out, though, is the generic public assistance legal groups such as your local legal aid society, they generally will not take any criminal defense cases, the theory being that the public defender is always available. In some states, public defenders are horribly underfunded, which is unfortunate, but those are probably the best options are public defender or one of the Second Amendment-oriented legal defense organizations.
Okay, so that's pretty much echoing what Masad said, and those are the places to go. So,
exactly.
I think that pretty much narrows it down. People need to heed that advice. Eric, I'm going to bring you back in here.
Okay.
You are the family support that Masad was talking about. And Masad, I want to kind of segue this back into you here, because during the break, Eric and I were talking about your answer and, how he supported his brother through this ordeal. So, Eric, go ahead and tell the listeners what you did, how you handled it, and why you contacted Masad, how fast you did it, and give us those details.
Well, as Mas said, I was in contact with him. We know each other sort of casually by a couple degrees of separation, Mr. Ayoub and I do. And I was in contact with him, I think, within probably 24 to 36 hours of the incident. And as a family member, when somebody goes through something like that, you just... you feel kind of powerless because you want to be helpful and supportive, and it's something that you can't relate to, and you don't know what's available, what you can do, what you should do. And at the same time, you're watching for, are these normal reactions that your family member is going through? Are these normal reactions and responses and stages that they're working through this psychological trauma they've been through? Moss was one of the first people I reached out to and said, what should I be watching for? Who should I call? A counselor? Friends I have in law enforcement that have been through similar situations, should I call up, his local pastor or his church group or his friends, or who should we be around? What should we do? And just started sort of trying to build a series of support moves to try and, lessen the peaks and valleys of this little psychological roller coaster he was on.
And nobody knows him better than you. You're his brother,
exactly.
For crying out loud. So you were able to see these signs. Masad, I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do. Eric, you've shot matches with Masad?
I have.
You have. Masad?
Eric is one of the top shooters in his discipline.
There you go.
Sectional champion.
And that's, okay, so the support group for the family, Masad, and everything that you mentioned, and then we heard from John echoing the same thing. As difficult as it may be, and some of the things that we heard David talk about initially after the shooting was the mental state that he went through. Let's forget about the attorneys for a minute. Let's forget about the DAs for a minute. Let's talk about the actual human physical response. Masad, you've been a witness, and I'm afraid to even ask you how many trials you've sat in on.
Well,
but I'm going to. How can you give us a ballpark?
I mean, I lost count somewhere in the 1980s.
Good heavens.
Basically, what you're hearing here from this account is that it's about values. It's not just about the case law and the legal protocols. David was the musician of the family, and he taught Eric to play an instrument, and that improved the quality of Eric's life. Eric was the shooter in the family, and when the time came, he taught David how to use a gun and when to use a gun, and that literally saved his brother's life. What this is about is caring. It's about values. It's about preserving people we love and preserving ourselves for the people that we love. You know, we're not fighting for the next beer in a bar or the next pistol match or the next trophy. One thing I discovered over the years back in the 70s when I was involved in the bringing into the gunfight training, the elements of psychological impact that occur in crisis like this, the tunnel vision, the auditory exclusion, the sense of things being closer than they are, what's called tachypsychia, the sense of things going in a slow motion. And one of the people I coordinated that with was Dr. John Wu, who was then chief of psychiatry at University of California, Irvine. He had done a study of near-death survivors in, plane crashes, car crashes, code blue on the operating table and all that. And a couple of fascinating things came out of that. He was within 5 percentage points with his study of general life-threatening situations compared to those who had been in gunfights of the percentage that experienced the tunnel vision, the auditory exclusion, the sense of the man being closer and larger and all of that. One thing Wu picked up on that I kicked my own butt for years for not having done, he asked the people in his study, did you experience the phenomenon of your life passing before your eyes? And there was a significant percentage, somewhere around 15-17%. And that struck me when I picked that up from him in the early 90s. And for years after that, and still today for that matter, I asked my students at one point, all right, how many of you have been so close to death that you thought you'd bought it? And several hands will go up. I asked them, how many had the experience of your life flashed before your eyes? And one or two hands will go up. And I asked them, what were the images? You're 30 years old, you're 40 years old, it wasn't time for it all. When you thought you were going to go into that precipice and into the abyss forever, what were the things your mind said, we have to look back because these were the key points before we go? And damn it, Mark, not a one of them has ever told me it was him, up on the podium getting his Life Achievement Award, or the prettiest girl he ever picked up in a nightclub. Every one of them said what they saw was the faces of their mothers and their fathers and their lovers and their sons and their daughters and their brothers and sisters.
And you heard that from Masad Ayoub, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after these messages. I apologize for the time flying by. We'll see you in just a couple seconds.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save a dollar when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This dreams of gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back. We just had a caller on the line, I believe. Sean just informed me was out of California, wanting to tell all of his friends when we're starting in Modesto. Modesto, California starts next week on the 21st. And as much as I hate to admit this, I'm an honest guy. I'll just tell you right up front, I don't know the call letters of the station, Sean. If you can help me out, let me know. But I'll post it up on Facebook, and I'll get it up on Twitter, which is both connected, and I'll also put it up on the armedamericanradio.org website. So make sure you go and check it out. The information you get is real time and up to speed. I'm back with Attorney John Monroe, with David and Eric, and the master of self-defense and author of In the Gravest Extreme, Massad Ayoub. Massad, that last segment's going to be tough to cover. That was good, and the information was very, very important. And when we went into that break, you were talking about, I'll tell you what, I can't top it. I'll just let you continue that thought when you broke off.
Well, it's really David's story, and we should probably get back to him sooner. But basically, you had begun by asking me about mindset. A part of it is understanding what you're fighting for. You're fighting to return to your family. You're fighting to fulfill your responsibility for the safety of those who happen to be with you, as David's companion was, when unpredictably that violent attack by a criminal with a stolen lethal weapon took place. You're not going to have time to figure it out when it happens. We all know the people we've talked to from the gun banning side who just poo-poo the whole thing and say, well, I've never been attacked, so therefore I will never be attacked. And, oh, if I'm ever attacked, I'll worry about it then. Well, I don't think anyone had tried to point a gun at David until the night it happened either. And we all know now from his moving story how brief a time frame he had in which to react. If the reaction is not in place beforehand, you won't be able to figure out what to do any more than someone untrained in CPR would be able to figure out how to perform cardiopulmonary resuscitation on their own when someone went cold blue in front of them. It's simply a responsibility we have to those that we love, and for our own survival, a responsibility to come back to those who count on us being there. And David, God bless him, fulfilled those responsibilities that terrible night.
Yeah, he did, and he's here to talk about it. David, let's get I'm going to get a little personal with you here.
Sure.
All right, some of the things that Mossad was talking about when he went into the break, I want to ask you about. Changed faith after what happened?
Certainly strengthened it.
Strengthened your faith, good.
Absolutely. I'm
Tell
a Christian.
Us about it.
I'm a Christian, not a very good one, but I'm a Christian. contacted my uncle, who's a minister, and he provided a great amount of support for me and helped me through a very, very difficult time. And, you know, gave me some tough love, really. But it's easy to say, you know, I'm here for you, I love you, and you know, I'm sorry that you're suffering, and, you know, that, and that be the end of it. But he said, you have a responsibility now to attend church regularly. You have a responsibility to pray and be grateful, and you have a responsibility to learn from it and grow spiritually. And he was very forceful about it, and I'm eternally grateful for it. I would not have taken it seriously had he not been.
Okay, so you know, we're starting to see, based on what happened to you, I guess I'm correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sitting right here looking at you, but it's changed you as a human being.
Of course. Course.
In all facets of your life.
Absolutely.
Not just one, not just two. I mean, do you react different to your brother? Is your relationship with your brother different because of this?
Yeah, it is. He and I have been very close for several years, but, you know, now it's you know, I believe, and he'll deny it because he's too modest, but I believe that he had a great hand in contributing to saving my life. But, you know, he's too modest to admit it.
Well, I think what you're referring to is preparing you for the mindset.
Sure.
That Mossad and he were talking about, and giving you the training necessary. Tell us about your training. Tell us what did you do with Eric? Are you out there poking holes in a paper plate? He's a competitive shooter. You know, what did you do? Obviously, you know, for fun with your guns. Let's talk about that.
Very little, actually. I was never a competitive shooter. But I have shot since a young age. Absolutely critical to my training was safety, and safety in no uncertain terms. In fact, there were a couple times when I was yelled at to learn to keep my finger off the trigger and, you know, things like that. And that's the best way to learn it. Just an absolute respect for something that is, you know, is capable of doing serious damage.
Yeah, and, you know, we do that when we teach our kids. You know, I've got them 5 and 7 years old, and my kids are learning respect for a firearm. Sure. At a very early age. Mossad, I've touched on that with you on previous broadcasts that we've talked about with Kathy Jackson. And nobody goes in it better than her than the Cornered Cat website.
Yeah, that's a wonderful resource for all of us who own firearms.
I've got an email here from Hillsboro, North Carolina. It says, Mark, you've covered the criminal liability issue in David's shooting. You might ask Mossad to touch on the potential civil liability in a shooting, which he covers very well in his works. And I'm going to go ahead and turn on John's mic over here, too, and ask you first, Mossad, in all of your many years of dealing with this. Thoughts here?
Well, the bottom line is you can shoot Charles Manson while he's chopping up a nun in front of 200 witnesses on Main Street, and the Manson family can still sue you for depriving Charlie of his rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of innocent victims. How long will that last? Will it be thrown out on the first motion for summary judgment? Highly possible. But basically what you've got to look at to some degree is the mood of the courts in your states. We are seeing some positive benefit from the rescinding of the retreat requirement in states such as Florida, the so-called Stand Your Ground law. And that has basically given a lot of judges the hook to just say, look, I can't waste the county's time on this. It says right here in the law, if the shooting has been determined by a legal authority to be justified, civil suit cannot be brought unless you can show some degree of negligence or malice. Now, the loopholes are there in negligence or malice, and we are still seeing some lawsuits being brought even after the Stand Your Ground law has been passed in Florida and elsewhere. But it has been extremely useful. The bottom line is, you have the choice of spending the money on the attorney or the undertaker. I vote for the attorney.
I agree with you, and I've heard you echo that on this program many, many times, and I have to give that one to you. Boy, you're right on the money there. That email came in from John McAllister in Hillsborough, North Carolina. John, thanks for listening to us. We'll be on a station near you here real soon, I can assure you. Appreciate the participation in the program. John, care to elaborate on that at all? I mean, we see these judges, these activist judges, doing some crazy, crazy things. We saw it up in Tennessee, telling the legislature that they don't understand what they did, that they didn't define what a restaurant is versus a bar. We see it here in Georgia with the airport carry telling representatives that they didn't know what they meant or that they were vague, literally flying in the face of what the legislatures are doing. These judges, how much freedom do they have, even in the case of a Stand Your Ground law?
You didn't invite me on this show to remind me of my court losses, did you?
No, I did not. I didn't say that. You did. I think that was one of how many out of here. The rest of them you're winning. But my point is that, and here we've got 30 seconds already. Man, my gosh, this time is flying by. I'll set you up with that run with it, and then we'll carry it on in the fourth and final segment.
All right. Just real quickly, and this is something that also is state-specific, just like the criminal liability. Here in Georgia, as an example, though we also enjoy some civil immunity. So if you have the criminal immunity that I talked about earlier, you also have civil immunity in Georgia, which means you don't have to get to the point where you're trying to defend your case early on. You can bring up the fact that you have civil immunity and a case can't even be brought against you.
Okay.
But not every state has that, of course.
Right, and obviously that is state specific. Ladies and gentlemen, that music means that we will be back in just a couple of minutes. The segments are flying by. I'm enjoying it and learning an awful lot. I'm Mark Walters. I'm on with John Monroe, David, Eric, and Masad Ayoub, the master. We'll be back right after these messages.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office, Mac, or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com, and you'll have instant access to your Mac. PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
And we're back with Masad Ayoub, David, John Monroe, Eric, and myself. Feel free to reach out to us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566 for this final segment of the second hour of Armed American Radio. If you want to get involved in the discussion or ask any questions, we've had some great emails coming in and a couple phone calls. Please keep them on topic. And, you know, in the last segment we were talking about, you know, we got a little personal with you. About you know, faith, you know, are you experiencing life a little bit differently now when somebody with a near-death experience or a harrowing life-altering experience like that is definitely does, and you've agreed that you definitely are, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your training now. Okay, things have changed. You spending more time at the range?
I have, yeah.
Have you changed your training techniques? Are you shooting at paper plates? Are you thinking about getting into competition? Are you doing any professional training? Or
I train with my brother.
Okay.
As much as possible.
Flip that mic over. Let's get Eric on. Eric, talk to us a little bit about some training, because this has obviously changed the way you look at things too, undoubtedly.
Well, it has a little bit, but again, as much as I may be an avid collector, competitor, shooter, I was the only one in the family that really was. So it was the exposure that I had was throughout the family was predominantly just safety based. There was a very little bit of, as I'm sure Masad can elaborate on, there was a very little bit of sort of general personal awareness, personal security kind of stuff. If you're walking out into a parking lot, look at your car. I mean, stuff that's not shooting related. You know, you park in a well-lit area when you can. You're just generally aware. Those sort of things, sort of like you were talking about earlier and Moss was talking about earlier, sort of mindset things. And again, if you're going to carry a gun, you make the decision way before you ever have to use it, way before you strap it on, if you had to. So you don't have to think about it. You have to waste that time. But again, just to reiterate, 99% of the training was literally just safety. I mean, same with, you know, my dad carries a gun, the same thing. And I can't get him to the range. It's one of those things like trying to teach your girlfriend a golf swing. You got to get somebody else to do it.
Right.
All the training
trying to teach your son to drive, right?
Yeah, exactly. All the training with my dad has been, Dad, don't point this at yourself. Here's how you get the bullets in and out safely. Please have it with you. You know, And that's what it really was with David. I mean, he was a little more open and receptive to training, but it was very, very much, you know, wear your eyes and wear your hands and just be real safe with it. Here's how you get the bullets in and out safely.
Right.
Have it with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's all great advice, ladies and gentlemen. Take it to heart. You're hearing it from people who have been there. Masad, I want to jump over to you and move away from David's situation here, because I think the listener can benefit in particular from some of the things. You know, I'll give you an example. I watch you on Personal Defense TV on a regular basis. In fact, I've got them on my DVR, and they stay there. Everybody knows not to touch them in my house, okay?
Obviously, you're a man of taste and distinction.
You better believe it, my friend. No question about it. And nobody is better at this. Let's talk about one that I just watched the other day, and this was you walking down a New Hampshire street. And on a generic level, to anybody, whether they're carrying a gun for personal protection or not, you cover very well just some of the basic things that people as human beings need to watch out for when they're walking down the street. Can you cover some of those things? We're talking about parked cars, alleys, all 9 yards.
The point we made on that film was it's not about paranoia. It's about awareness. It's not about that, you know, at any moment some archetype of the beast from a Charles Bronson movie is going to, you know, pounce you from the fire escape above. It's that somebody on that second floor might just accidentally drop a flower pot, so it'd be really good idea to look up every now and then. You stay a few steps away from the side of the building as you approach a corner of an alley, maybe because the rapist or the mugger might grab you, but mainly because anybody coming up that narrow alley in a motor vehicle is not going to see you until after the front end of their automobile has struck you. And you kind of take a little look down the alley before you take that next step. It's simply common sense. What it's about is knowing what's going on around you. Colonel Cooper's concept of the color codes of awareness, that in condition white, you're oblivious and therefore helpless. And without going through the whole details of the bands of the color code, he recommended living in what he called condition yellow, a state of relaxed alertness, of being able to, at any point, be able to say what's going on around you. If, as you're driving down the road, the other person in the car says, hey, where are we right now? You can answer them without consulting the GPS. If someone with you at a party says, close your eyes and tell us who's within 5 feet of us and what they look like, you actually can do it. And it's not about paranoia. It's essentially about living your life. Cooper said, God rest his soul, that a well-adjusted man or woman should be able to spend their entire waking life in condition yellow with no adverse psychological effects. I believe it's actually better than that. What my life has taught me is that when you are aware of what's around you, you become a people watcher, and you see all the cool things you were missing before. You know, you see the kid playing with his puppy that you wouldn't have noticed before. Today, Valentine's Day, as we record this, you see the faces of the young lovers and the old couple that have been together for 50 years looking at each other. And, you know, you'd miss that without having the alertness scan up. It literally improves your quality of life, and it reminds you what you live for.
You know, it is amazing, Masad, how many people walk through life with blinders on.
And they never know what they're missing, Mark.
They don't have a clue what they're missing. And sometimes it takes a situation like David experienced, or one that, you know, and I have interviewed, as you well know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people who have defended themselves with a firearm or wished they had a firearm to defend themselves and found themselves helpless because they were not paying attention, because they were in condition white. They did not have a clue. You know, listen, it's like the accident. The best advice I can give is, you know, you hear people at a car accident say, man, they came out of nowhere. No, ladies and gentlemen, they did not come out of nowhere. You weren't paying attention. Okay, a 3,000-pound automobile did not just appear. You did something wrong. There's no such thing as a true accident. Somebody wasn't paying attention somewhere.
And yet, let's go back to the lessons that we're learning tonight, because tonight is David's story. We've got the brother who shares his discipline with the other brother. And notice what you heard Eric say. It wasn't about the mechanics of pulling the trigger so much as it was about the awareness and the preparedness. That was what allowed him to see the threat in time. Now, Eric may not be taking enough credit for the skills that he imparted, because I have a complete copy of the homicide report, and eight solid hits out of nine shots is way above the national average of trained people. And I think David did very well on the mechanics. The main thing was he saw it coming in time to save his life, to save the life of another person. And in the end, that is what this is about. It's about taking care of the people who are around us. It's about understanding why we're doing it. And it's not something that makes us paranoid. It's that awareness is something that enriches our lives, the awareness of what's going on around us in the one sense, the awareness of why we carry that gun to protect other people. I'm sure somewhere out there is some perpetrator in an alley who's, you know, got his first stolen gun stuffed in his waistband, and he's focused on the power that he feels from the weight. But for every one of those, there are thousands of people like Dave and Eric who every time they feel the weight of the pistol on their belt, it's a reminder of the people they love. It's a reminder of their responsibilities to other good people.
And he is shaking his head, yes, here across from me, and you don't have the benefit to be able to see him, but I do. David, that's very telling when you're shaking your head yes like that, listening to what Mossad's telling all of us, because with 1 minute to go, I'm gonna leave it with you in your hands here. It is about your story. You are here to tell it. And with the support group that you have with Eric here and your father in the studio and folks like Mossad that you've been able to talk to, what do you want to leave us with here? What's the most important thing that you're taking away from all of this? Was it the preparation? Is it the aftermath? Is it what you've learned? Is it your faith? What is it?
I would say it's a combination. I've taken a million things from it. But certainly... everything Mossad Ayoub is, I mean, I couldn't have articulated it better than that. I mean, you do appreciate things now that you're aware, you know, being aware of what's around you.
Blue look bluer to you now? Does white look whiter? Does the sun look brighter? Do the trees look greener?
Food tastes better.
Al Gore, did all the snow down south appear to look snowier to you?
Yeah. No, it's been a life-changing experience that has changed me for the better, but it's at the same time, it's something that I carry with me, and it's a very heavy weight.
And I guess the old adage now: do you leave your home unarmed ever now?
Absolutely not.
Carry on, carry often, and carry everywhere.
Yes,
ladies,
sir.
And gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I've been joined by David, Eric, attorney, noted attorney John Monroe, who wins a lot more than he loses, trust me on that one, and the great one, Mossad Ayoub. Mossad, you're welcome to stick around for the roundtable on hour number three. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back after these messages with the third hour, the roundtable. I'm your host, Mark Walters. See you in the next hour.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.